God is doing something at Connecting Point. And it is through you, the church. This is not the church, by the way. This is just a building where we meet. God is doing something at Connecting Point. And I want to share with you this morning the excitement of what God is doing. Now, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to be in verses 10 through verse 17. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through verse 17. Now, I have chosen a different translation this morning to use because I like to just kind of change it up a little bit in the wording because it means so much. And this is taken, the translation I'll be using is the New Living Translation, okay? I love using that for study purposes especially because it helps me as a finite mind that I have for study. But I think it has some very good merit to it. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 17, I guess if I were to title this message, I would call it, "Watch Out, Here We Grow." Huh? Pretty catchy, huh? Watch out, here we grow. Very important words. I believe that words have meaning. Okay? I've been a minister of the gospel since 1990. And God has led me through various opportunities, various ministries to preach the gospel. I've pastored several churches in my tenure with the Lord. And I've seen where God has moved in the church. But one thing I want to counsel the church, and be careful. That's why I said, watch out. Here we grow. Because you got to be careful that when we start growing as a church, we need to be watchful as a church. Okay? You got to be careful. And I'm going to expound on that a little bit more. But we have to be watchful. And not just depend on the pastor or the leadership of the church, but as the church, you and I, brother, you and I, sister, we've got to be watchful of what goes on. Because as the church begins to grow, as God begins to move among the people, so Satan is right at the heels. He's like my barking chihuahua. You know? That stupid dog. No, I didn't say that. But that dog, he just... I'm walking around and he's right... Any of y'all got chihuahuas? That's a useless dog. And that's where I look Satan. When God's moving, when God's walking among his people, Satan is right back there. Right? Watch out, church, because here we grow. Now, if I were to subtitle it, I'd call it A Divided Church. What an oxymoron. Anybody want to know what an oxymoron is? Know what an oxymoron is? What's an oxymoron? That's an oxymoron, isn't it? Military intelligence. I used to work, our company that I worked for was bought out by a company called Occidental Petroleum. Okay? And they called it Oxy. So guess what Tina called me? Uh-oh. Ba-da-boom-ba. An oxymoron. Yeah. But an oxymoron is this. It is a combination of words that contradict each other. Okay? So you kids at school, go to your teacher and say, "Teacher, I know what an oxymoron is." And you can tell them. Webster defines it as such. Now, there's some phrases, as Phil just brought out, military intelligence, kind of contradict each other. Here's some of my favorite. Boneless ribs. Fresh frozen. Jumbo shrimp. How about small fortune? Living dead. The living dead. Oh. Here's a southern term, pretty ugly. I go on a lot of working vacations. How about a devout atheist? And here's my favorite for you sportsters, artificial grass. Oxymoron, okay? So is a divided church. 1 Corinthians, this morning, we see an oxymoron that Paul brings out, a divided church. And there's a reason why we call a divided church an oxymoron. It's because once the church becomes divided, it ceases to be a church. Okay? The two words together, divided church, are a contradiction in each other. All it becomes when that happens within a church, and by the way, it does happen. There are churches that are splitting many times over, and they are right smack in the middle of church growth. God's moving, and then something happens, and they split. And what happens when a church becomes that way? It's just a group of people who have lost their way and have lost their sight and mission of what the church is supposed to be about. What happens in this time is that through division, things happen like backbiting, fighting. It just demoralizes, it discourages the church. Not only does it destroy the church, it destroys the witness and the effectiveness of the church. And when that happens, it destroys the testimony. You'll hear this: well, I'm not going to be like those people down there. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. I'm not going to be like those people. I'm as good as they are. Look what goes on in that church down there. Do you hear what they're saying? They're talking about the church of Jesus Christ. And folks, it ought not be. We shouldn't have that kind of activity going on in the church. God forbid us that we, and by the way, I'm involved in that too, just like you. God forbid that we as the church have allowed things that we wouldn't even allow in the parking lot years ago. We're letting in the church of Christ today. God forgive us for allowing such a thing. It destroys the church. Now, granted, quarrels are a part of life, right? Let me pull this off. I don't want to blow you guys out because I'm fixing to get loud. Okay. Quarrels are a part of life. If you've got brothers, how many of you got brothers and sisters? Yeah? Okay. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Now, I don't because I'm an only child. And I am not spoiled. Okay. But those that have brothers and sisters, you know what it's like when you have quarrels, right? You know, I have my cousins. I was very close to them. They were two brothers. And they fought like cats and dogs. I mean, he'd get on top of my other cousin and just beat the snot out of him, you know? And they would attack each other. But when somebody outside the family jumps on one of them, guess what? Whoa. Katie bar the door. The whole family jumps in, right? We're going to have quarrels. We're a family. We have things that go on. They're a part of life. But what happens is that from time to time, we have those quarrels that go on. And you've got to ask yourself, why? Why is it that we have disagreements in the church? Why is it that we have quarrels? Why is it we do that? And I'll tell you why. You ready? You might want to write this down. Because we're selfish. I told you I'm going to say stuff you're not going to like. And I don't really care. We're selfish. We want our own way. You didn't do it that way because you did it that way, and I don't like it. That's why we have quarrels. That's why we have disagreements. And that's just like any other family. We get into self. Children fight. Children quarrel. Children get in disagreements. You would think that when we got older and wiser, we would grow out of that. But you know what? In the churches I've pastored, that ain't the case. We haven't quite learned about quarreling and fighting. See, the Christians and the church are not immune to these kind of problems. Let me tell you the story. There was a man who was marooned on a desert island for over 20 years. Okay? On one day, a ship finally came by, and he was out on the beach waving, "Hey, come here." They pulled over and jumped out and got on the beach, and they saw him. When they came ashore and they looked around, they saw all kinds of buildings and a road on this little deserted island that he was all by himself. And they asked him what all these buildings were for. So he decided to take them on a tour of the island, of his island. They walked down the street that he had made, and they noticed the grocery store that he built. And they noticed the bank that he built. And they noticed the houses that he built. And then they came on down the road, and he said, "Look at the church that I built. Isn't it nice?" And then they walked down a little farther, and they saw this other empty building. And he didn't say much about that. But then they come back, and they said, "Now, what's that empty building there that you built?" And he said, "Well, you see, that first building's my church. But," he said, "that other building, that was my first church I went to, but I got mad and I left." You see? We're not immune to that. John MacArthur, great theologian, in his commentary wrote these words, and I quote, "Quarreling is a reality in the church because selfishness and other sins are realities in the church. Because of quarreling, the Father is dishonored, the Son is disgraced, His people are demoralized and discredited, and the world," get this, ready? "And the world is turned off and confirmed in unbelief. The biggest problem with the church today is the church. We're not walking our talk. We're just simply talking the talk." You see? And people are just seeing that. And the Corinthian church, as Paul was writing to the Corinths, the church had many problems. It had issues. It had problems going on in their life. And the first issue that Paul addressed was the quarreling and the divisions in the church. Now, you're probably saying, "When are we going to get to the Bible?" Well, here we are, okay? So let's see what the Bible says in our scripture today. Beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul writes, "I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, 'I am a follower of Paul.' Others are saying, 'I follow Apollos,' or 'I follow Peter,' or 'I follow only Christ.' Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. For now no one can say they were baptized in my name." Boy, Paul had some issues going on with the Corinthian church, huh? Verse 16. "Oh yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, but I don't remember baptizing anyone else. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power." You see, the first thing that we see in this verse, the first thing he says is that there is no divisions in the church. Look at verse 10 again. "I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought, united in purpose." Paul tells them that there cannot be divisions in the church. Folks, remember, he's talking to us today. He's talking to Connecting Point right now. There cannot be any divisions. You see, watch out. Here we grow. We are growing. God is doing some things. And here comes the chihuahua. Right? There cannot be any divisions in the church. Folks, Paul says we have to be united. United in thought. United in purpose. That is our direction. You've got to understand what your purpose is. What is our purpose? Well, I can define it in one simple word: to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, period. Listen, that's what we're supposed to be about. It's telling others about Jesus Christ. Look, if you're not telling others in your life, in your speech, in your actions, then you might need to do a spiritual checkup. Okay? You might ought to do a spiritual checkup. Because if you're ashamed of the gospel, then my friend, we have problems. Houston, we have a problem. So Paul writes that we have a purpose in the church. We are not a social club. Look, you may come here for stature. I go to the connecting point. Yeah. I have a goofy pastor. Love you, brother. We are not a social club. We are not a community action organization. The church is not just a building where we meet on Sundays or Wednesdays or Friday night movies. Man, we had a great time last night, by the way. If you weren't here, you missed a blessing. Oh, how cool. God's Not Dead 2, part 2. We watched that. Oh, what a beautiful movie. You need to get it, rent it, do whatever. It's a beautiful show, beautiful show. You see, we just don't come here on those times. Paul says, this is not the church. We are the church. And there cannot be divisions amongst us. Kind of reminds me of a story of Sparta, the king of Sparta. If you've studied history, the king of Sparta, of ancient Greece, he boasted to a visiting monarch of the walls of Sparta. And he told them, that the guests, to look around, because we have the walls of Sparta. Well, the guests look around and he didn't see any walls. He looked around and he said, where are the walls? I don't see any. I'd like for you to show me the walls. So the king of Sparta, he pointed out with great satisfaction and with some discipline, and he said, you see the troops, you see the soldiers, you see the mighty armor, and you see the mighty army that are all around the perimeter of Sparta. They are my walls. The church is being guarded by the people. We are the walls of the church. Think about it. When Jesus said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, the church. So what are the defenses? We are. My question is, are you being the brick in the wall of the church? Are we being the brick in the wall of the church? What can tear a wall down? Trump is saying we're going to build that wall. What's going to tear that wall down? It are fractures in the wall. There are little crevices that go on. The division in the wall can bring the wall down. My question to you, dear friend, is, are we that division, or are we the concrete? Are we being the one that protects, or are we being the one that tears down? The church is not just the building where we choose to meet and worship. The church is the people, the believers in Christ, the followers of Christ. The believers are the walls of the church. And when divisions occur, the church begins to crack and crumble. We become divided. And guess what? We forget who we are. We forget what our purpose is. We forget that we once surrendered our life to Jesus Christ. You forgot that you no longer belong to yourself. You belong to Christ Jesus Himself. And when we forget who we actually belong to, divisions come within the church. So church, hold on. Watch out. Because here we grow. Paul writes that there can be no divisions in the church. The other thing that he writes and he addresses is found in verses 11 and 12. Look what the Bible says. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I'm a follower of Apollos. or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Oh, that's good. The second thing that Paul writes to the church is that there cannot be any divisions, nor can there be any dividers. Ooh. Now we're going to get to meddling. Paul said that his friend Chloe had sent word to him that the church was becoming divided, and he stated the culprits. He stated who they were. These are the people who were the dividers of the church. We don't know if they were doctrinal issues. We don't know if they were personality issues that was causing them to form, do I dare say it, cliques in the church. Ooh, we don't have cliques of today, do we? No cliques in the churches today. God help us. One group was saying that they followed Paul. One group was saying that they followed Apollos. One group was saying that they were following Peter. Folks, do you know what the common denominator here of the problem that we just heard? Is that they were following man and they weren't following God. Ooh. They were following man. I remember back several years ago, I had a pastor search committee approach me about becoming a pastor. There was like five of them, and they came to me and we started talking. And they asked me, they said, now, do you have any pet peeves? Surely not. Yeah, besides the chihuahua, yeah. Do you have any pet peeves? And I thought about that. And I should have said, well, which one? But there was one that came to my mind. And I said, you know, there's one thing that I despise. I hate it when people say, when they attend our church, I hate it when people say, well, I go down to Pastor Milton's church. Or I go down to, oh, so-and-so's church. I said, you know, that really ticks me off. When you ask me if I have a pet peeve, that really ticks me off, because this is not my church. This is not Pastor John's church. This is God's house. Quit saying his church and that church or pastor's church. This is God's house. This is God's church, and I belong to it. This is our mission. It's not a man. The church belongs to God. And any that want to follow man instead of following God, they have just become dividers in the church. And Paul writes, it ought not be. These people were dividers. They were not unifiers. Boy, we need unity in the church. We need unity in the body. Paul doesn't elaborate on this group, but in context, they are a part of groups that are dividers. Perhaps they're like some today who have no use for leadership in the church. Check this out. Now, this one's going to blow you away. Look what the Bible says in verse 12. Some of you are saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter. Or, catch this. Now, we glean over this one. So, I want to enlighten you on this. Notice what he says. Or, I follow only Christ. Now, hang with me before you throw tomatoes at me. There are people in the church that can be, let's see, how can I word this? That only follow the teachings of Christ, period. Everything else becomes irrelevant. You hear what I'm saying? Stay with me. So in other words, there are some, and these can be, get this, these can be the greatest dividers of all. Okay? Well, now, wait a minute. You said that we're supposed to follow the teachings of Christ. Absolutely. But what I'm saying is there are some who have no use for anything other than the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because if Jesus doesn't say it, it's over with. Regardless of what Paul says, regardless of what James says, regardless of what Peter says, regardless of any of these things, if Jesus didn't say it verbatim, I have no use for it. And you see where there can be divisions in the church? Wow. And that's what Paul says. He says right there in verse 12, and there are some who say, I follow only Christ. That's a bad way to go. That's a bad way to go. They are some of the most aggressive dividers because they have no use, they have no respect for the leadership that God has in place for the church. Through God's Word, we have been given examples of how we're supposed to govern ourselves within the body. And the leadership begins with the pastor. The leadership begins with him and the leadership of the church. And it's important that we as God's people line up behind our pastor and behind the leadership. I have seen this before. I'll give you an example. There was one church that I pastored. God was blessing. We were moving and growing. And we were averaging around 120 to 130 from a body of believers that we only had like 20 or 30 normally. And God, through several years of growth, God began to bless. People were being baptized. Folks were getting saved. They were being mentored. We were discipling people. So I led a campaign. And this was what I wanted to do. I said, folks, as we grow, we need to grow out. So what I meant by that was that when we reach a certain number, let's just say 130 to 140, let's take 10 of our people and let's use them to go to another church to work with that other church that's hurting. And let's be a help to them and send them out. And not that they're joining the church, but that's where they'll attend for a period of time. And then when they start growing up, then we come back. And as we keep growing to that certain number, let's send more out. You see what I was talking about? How cool is that? Man, that's really cool. Thank you, brother. High five. But here's the catch. Watch out. Here we grow. I had pushback within the church. Oh, pastor, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. That means that we will lose some of our people. Really? No, this is what we're going to do. No, pastor, we're not going to do that. Really damaged the church. Because the people didn't realize that God gives the direction. And we need to line up behind that. We have to be unifiers, church, not dividers. Be careful, because here we grow. It will happen. It will happen. Third thing we got to look out for. Yeah, I still got plenty of time, man. Still got another hour. Look at verse 13. Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. The third thing we see is that there can be no distractions within the church. How many of you ever saw Kevin Costner in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? Did you ever see that movie? Kind of cool. In one scene, Robin walks up to a young man taking an aim at an archery target. And Robin asked him, can you shoot with distractions? So as the boy was pulling his bow back, aiming at the target, Robin Hood takes a feather, and just as he was ready to release it, he took a feather and put it in his ear and tickled him, and boom! And he just released it, and he missed the mark. He missed the mark. Of course, after some laughter in that scene, and those watching kind of dies down, Maid Marian, standing behind the boy, asked Robin, can you? And as Robin began to pull his bow back at the aim, Maid Marian, in a very flirtatious way, blows in his ear. That arrow shot out and almost missed the passerby there. You see, distraction comes in all types, even in the church. Whether they could be painful or whether they're pleasant. Distractions happen. The result is the same. Folks, when distractions come in the church, we miss the mark of God. And you know what that's called? Sin. Sin means that we are to miss the mark. That's what sin's all about. So even sin crops up in the church when we allow distractions to come into our life. Paul is telling the Corinthian church, saying to them that they are missing the mark when they fuss. They're missing the mark when they fight. They're missing the mark when they allow these childish things to come on into their life. Well, I like traditional music. No, I like contemporary music. Man, that music was loud this morning, wasn't it? All those kids were playing all that rock music and it was just too loud. I don't like the color of the walls. And these purple chairs, are you kidding me? You see the distractions that can come into the church? Believe you me, I have seen churches that have split down the middle because they didn't like the color of the curtains in the church. Oh yeah, it's happened. And Paul is telling us to beware of the distractions. Beware of the distractions because they come in all forms and fashions. Well, listen, John the Baptist himself had Sunday school at 9:45 and church at 11 o'clock, and that's the way we've got to stick to it, right? Paul says these are distractions. These are distractions that can hinder the movement of the church. Watch out, because here we grow. The other thing he mentions is in verse 14 through the end of 17. Notice what the Bible says. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except for Crispus and Gaius. By the way, that was a backhanded slap. Boy, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you people. That's what he was saying. Get the context of this. For now, no one can say they were baptized in my name, Paul writes. Oh yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, but I don't remember baptizing any one of you. He kind of paused back and he said, oh yeah, I forgot about those good people. I'm glad I baptized them. Because he says in verse 17, for Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news. And not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. Basically what Paul was saying, that the church has got to have one directive, one direction. We've got to head in the right direction. We've got to head down the right path. Paul says that God did not send him to create a cult following, in other words. They were not to follow him, but to follow Christ. To follow him. The singular directive from God was to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul tells them that if they go following a man or if they go following a religion, the cross will lose its power. Folks, we've got to be on guard. We've got to watch out because it's going to happen. Be careful not to let it in. Here, watch out because here we grow. So I close with this. Think we're going to get out of here early, right? But that's okay. But I want to close with this thought. The question, and I love this picture, guys, thank you. Two enthusiastic thumbs up. Does God want your church to grow? What's the answer to that? Sure it is. The question is, do you? Be careful how you answer that. Do you want your church to grow? You know that church I was telling you about that we were averaging around 120 or so? And we were growing, God was blessing. I had a young lady come up to me one morning. And she had been a member of that church all of her life. So she comes up to me and she says, Pastor Milton. Had a real sad look on her face. She said, Pastor Milton, I can't recognize anybody in this church anymore. She said, I just don't like this. I don't know anybody. I just can't recognize anybody. And I said, and that's a problem because? You see, she was stuck in a rut. Again, you know what the definition of a rut is? It's a grave kicked out on both ends. She was stuck in a rut of the same old thing, the same old way, her way. And she did not want things to change. We've got to be ready for change. We've got to be ready. Watch out. Here we grow. We got to be ready. You know, get the stilettos off your feet and put your running shoes on. I've tried wearing those stinking things too. Ladies, I don't know how you do it. You got to have some calves that are like that big. And, but we need to get off our stilettos and we need to put on our running shoes. It's time to get going. Church, watch out. Because Satan is right there too. Do you realize that do you realize that Satan is in here right now? Oh no, this is God's house, right? God can't come into the Satan can't come into these four walls. How dare he? Listen, if he can present himself in the kingdom of heaven right now, how do you think? Do you think he can't come in here? Well, he can't come into heaven. He presented himself to God. The Bible says that they presented. Ask Job. The Bible says that angels were presenting themselves to God in heaven, and there was Satan right there. And God said, Satan, what are you up to? That's today's words. Satan, what are you up to? Oh, he said, I'm just running to and fro on the earth. Then God said, Satan, have you considered my man Job? Have you considered my man Job? Let's all expand that, shall we? Have you considered connecting point? And Satan said to God, yeah, but you take your hedge off of him. Let me just take all his money. Let me take everything he owns and he'll curse you. You see, if Satan can present himself in heaven, I guarantee you he'll be in this place. He's standing around right now. Hey, don't forget, we got lunch this afternoon. Don't listen about this dividing thing that goofy guy's talking about. We got this thing going on. Don't forget the baseball game or the hockey game or whatever's going on. You can't miss that. Don't listen to what he's saying. That's Satan talking. Satan talking. The music's too loud. Well, get some earplugs. I did. You know, We had youth, you're going to love this. You're going to pound me here, okay? Yeah. When we had the youth lead the worship, they got loud. And I had some folks start complaining about it, you know? And you know what I did? I went and bought some earplugs. I did. I put them right there in the front. I said, for some of you that don't like the loud music, here's your earplugs. Don't complain. Okay? You see, we got to get behind the church. We got to get behind the church. What some of you may like, some of you don't. Some of you that do like, some of you don't. But we serve one spirit. We were talking this morning about the music. And we were talking about, you know, boy, I don't like some of the different types of music. Some people don't like different types of music. Kevin, man, that rock and roll music, right? The rock and roll gospel rock. What's it called? Christian rock, hard rock. Oh, they got the bah, bah. And some people say, man, how can God be? I don't see it. I don't get it. Well, guess what? It's not for you. Let that sink in. That may be for Kevin. He likes that stuff, right? Hey, kids, you might like that. Where some of us more low-keyed, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Yeah, that's you. Norm, that's you. Man, hey, man, I'm with you. Let's pound this thing, baby. Yeah. Well, oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, that may be for me. But those kids may be saying, no. Oh, yeah. But you see, that's what I'm saying is we serve one spirit. As long as the stuff that we're doing, church, as long as what we're doing is giving emphasis and cause to Christ, and we're leading others to Christ, and we're edifying Jesus Christ, and we're pointing man to Christ, what difference does it make? Just because you don't like it doesn't mean that just because God's not moving to you in that way, God's moving to them. What difference does it make? Let us be a church, a body of believers who love Jesus Christ, who love God Almighty, who's doing a work in Connecting Point, regardless of what's going on. Let's make it happen for the cause of Christ. Amen? And as Forrest Gump said, and that's all I got to say about that. I hope this wasn't too sophomoric. I know some of you might say, oh man, that guy's a junior league. It's okay. I hope the message got across. Watch out. Here we grow. Because God's going to do a mighty work at Connecting Point. And guess what? He's allowing us to be a part of it. You know? So we give Him all the praise and we give Him all the glory. Because you see, it was Christ that hung on that cross. It wasn't me. It wasn't Pastor John. It wasn't the leadership of the church. It was Jesus. May He get all glory and honor and power. Amen. Father, we are so grateful for who You are. And God, we pray this morning that we will be the church and that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And Lord, let us be the wall. Let us be the block that keeps Satan at bay. Lord, let us be those that walk the talk, where others can see Jesus in us. And Father, let us just give You the glory because You're so worthy. Jesus, we love You. And we praise You for who You are, for what You did, for what You're doing, and what You're going to do. And we look forward to great things that You have in store for each one of us individually, and what You have in store for Connecting Point. And Lord, we give You all the praise and glory. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it's in His name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. We're so